Welcome to Al Berman Live from a studio apartment in North Hollywood, California. This is episode 73. And as usual, I am doing this on a Sunday. And gosh, it seemed like I guess I got up pretty late today. Later than I've normally been getting up. Just seems like it took forever for me to get to the podcast. To come to the worship of the podcast. Actually, I do the podcast, and you come to worship to the podcast. It's a full moon tonight. It's a super moon. I don't know what, you know, it's a super duper moon is happening, like some really super big moon. And it's also the, it was the solstice, summer solstice. Say that five times fast. Solstice is one of those words that's got a feminine ring to it. Solstice. Are you coming to the solstice? And I guess the summer solstice was the shortest day of the year, right? Is it the longest day of the year? No, the longest day of the year. I think it's the longest day of the year. I don't know, I get confused. But I know there's great powers in the solstice. So, you know, supposedly magical spiritual powers that different religions and groups and stuff they do during the various solstices. I can't stop doing it that way. I know the winter solstice. All right, I'm going to stop. Stop. Stop it. Suffer and succotash. Holy mackerel. This has been some week. I guess I'll mention this up front. I'm very sad that maybe I should have done it towards the end because, you know, it'd be funny after that. Well, you know, I've already mentioned it, okay? But James Gandolfini, the actor who portrayed Tony Soprano in the TV show The Sopranos, died suddenly, and it's one of those deaths that's, that if you were a fan of The Sopranos and you knew his work, it's one of those deaths that just kind of, it hits you, you know, like, you're kind of blindsided. It's not something you don't expect somebody like him to go, even though, you know, they say he was overweight. Well, who isn't overweight, you know? And I was reading that, you know, he seemed in good health. There were no signs that anything was wrong. Boy, that's a comforting. That's comforting. He was from New Jersey. As a matter of fact, I'm told that a kid in my neighborhood was his college roommate at Rutgers. Somebody told me, my grandmother used to say that, somebody told me, one of my other neighborhood friends that I grew up with, she told me a couple years ago that a guy from our neighborhood, went to college and was college roommates with James Gandolfini. So there's my little connection to him. You know, I never got to meet him. And, you know, it's just sad. It's just one of those things. But here's the point I was trying to make about all this. One of the points is how fleeting fame is. You know, no matter, like, you know, you think James Gandolfini, and this guy's pretty famous, right? Tony Soprano. And so I see this guy, Marvin, who does, construction work, or every time somebody moves out of an apartment here in my building, he comes in and fixes it up. It puts in new things and this and that. So he's been working upstairs because the guy upstairs moved out a few weeks ago, and they're getting this one upstairs. Excuse me, ready. And so I saw him and I go, Marvin, James Gandolfini died. And he goes, who? You don't know who James Gandolfini is? He goes, No. He was in The Sopranos. He played Tony Soprano. And he goes, is he a British guy? Is he a British guy? Yeah, the British Sopranos. So it just goes to show you that in Marvin's world, and I'm not putting him down. This is not a put down of him. This is just in our put down on anybody. It's just an observation. Is that James Gandolfini? You know, for the most of the people around, I think knew who he is. I mean, he was trending on Yahoo. He was number one for a whole day. I mean, it's just like nice to know that when you're died, you're dead. You're trending. You know, you're bigger than ever in death. But you know, in certain circles, nobody knows who he is. I remember I was talking to some kid, a young Hispanic kid, a Latino kid. I never know what to call you people. I told one of my Spanish friends the other day, one of my friends that have Spanish descent. I don't know, what do you call you people? He goes, I don't care. I think Hispanic is kind of like what white people came up with. Latino, ah, whatever. Anyway, I was talking to this young kid. It doesn't matter if he's Hispanic, but maybe in a way it does in terms of his culture and what I'm about to say. And this was a couple, few years ago, and I mentioned, I do believe I mentioned Eddie Murphy and or Robert De Niro, and he had absolutely no clue. And at this time, I would venture to guess that this guy was about 22. So let's go back a few years, when he was 22. So let's just say it was 2007, 2008, something like that, 2009, whatever. He doesn't know Eddie Murphy or Robert De Niro. Again, not a put-down on him or the how famous these other people are. But again, in certain circles, fame, you mean nothing. You know, I mean, somebody was mentioning, who was it? Somebody was talking about, I heard this, like in 100 years or whatever, no one's going to even know who Dean Martin is. And he was so famous, right? Because he was, you know, with Sinatra. But you'll probably know who Sinatra is because I think Sinatra's going to go down sort of like Beethoven and the Beatles. You know, he had such artistry in his singing. Not to put down Dean Martin. Again, but I'm just saying that Sinatra, it was just a completely different class of singer. And so I think he may be remembered more so. All right, enough of this. I hope everybody's remembered. I hope you're all remembered. And remember, tip your waitresses. I'm here all week. Okay, so interesting week. I got an iPad last year. Oh, it's probably been about a year I've had it. And it's just been laying in my closet, untouched. It was a virgin iPad. Okay, I'm not even going to go there. And I had, Wesley, my friend Wesley, offered to help me out, and I said, all right, we'll do it sometime. And my friend Bill, I talked to him about doing it at some point. But I kept putting it off. And there's a girl in my building who I won't mention her name. I don't want to, I'll clear it with her next time. But she's a very nice, young, very beautiful, very, very lovely, young, very young woman, mid-20s, something like that. And she has a business, and she works very hard. I mean, she's a very, very hard worker. And we just started conversing recently. She works a lot with computers. So I just, I thought, well, if I have my choice between a couple of middle-aged guys or a beautiful young woman here, who's my neighbor, to help me, well, basically, I'm getting ahead of myself. We were talking, and I mentioned I had an iPad, and then I just sort of asked her if she would if she had ever had the time, would she mind, helping me put it together, because, I really need my hand held in certain areas at times. I get started, then I'm fine. And she said, yeah, fine. So we got together, and she it took her like 5-10 minutes to do this whole thing. And at first I'm looking at this iPad. I mean, I don't know. It looks like a big iPhone. I've already got the iPhone. That's the one reason I never used it, was because I got the MacBook. I've got the iPhone. What more do I need? I'm wearing eye underwear. Okay. So I said, and then I find out that, and I realized, and she mentioned it to me, and I kind of knew this before anyway, that this would be good to download ebooks because it's got a bigger screen. You can't read books on your, I don't like to read books on my MacBook. I like to kind of kick back, lay down, prop the pillows up, or go in my, I have this sort of lounge chair. You know, kick it. You know, kick it, baby. Kick it when I'm reading. You can't kick it when you got your MacBook, and the iPhone is too small. The screen's too small. So we put this together, and I've been. And at first, the iPad, I was a little bit like, it's like an interloper. What are you doing? It was mocking me. Oh yeah, I'll show you. We'll be downloading ebooks soon, and so I have been downloading ebooks, and so I can. Yeah, I can take it with me now. I got to get a case so I can protect it, you know. But it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. And she's going to show me some more things because I'm trying to sync things up and, you know, my various devices. And so she's going to show me some more things. And that's that. So I'm very grateful to her. I'm grateful to the people at Apple for creating the iPad. Thank you. Let's take a moment of silence to thank Steve Jobs. Okay, that's it. You thank me? Is that... Okay, that was fine. Okay, now, I don't know. This week was... Some of the other neighbors this week, I had a couple of incidents. That's the word. Incidents. I was out in the courtyard with my iPad, come to think of it. And Marvin was... I was talking to Marvin... And I'm sitting in this, we have these tables and chairs, and so I'm talking to Marvin. He came down because he had some boxes near the table I was at, or whatever, and he comes over and we're talking, and then this one neighbor who comes by is an African-American gentleman, you know, nice guy, kind of full of it, you know, he kind of always thought, you know, he's... one of these kind of guys, like, real loud, real, like, you know, hey, man, what's up? You know, he's very, very gregarious, but he's kind of full of it. And I told him this. I mean, I told him to his face because he's a chef, and he kept saying, man, we're going to barbecue someday. And I go, hey, I'll pay for, you know, meat, whatever. We can, if we have a big thing, I'll kick in, whatever. And, yeah, man, we're going to do it. He's never, never, ever done it. A couple times he's barbecued for himself, and he's actually turned me on. It's been amazing. But the last time he mentioned having a barbecue, I said, will you shut up? You're never going to have a barbecue. You're full of it, okay? You're full of it. So, I don't know. I saw him the other day, and I was like, he comes in. I'm sitting at the table, and then he's like, hey, how you doing? And I'm like in the middle of talking to Marvin, and I'm sort of like, hey, what's up? You know, I'm not like that. I wasn't really that friendly. I wasn't feeling that friendly towards him. I guess I was kind of not in the mood for him. I was kind of tired of... I just felt like, I don't know, I felt like shining him on a little bit. Yeah, that's what happened. And so I don't think I said anything. I just like, I was like, you know. And then I went back to talk to Marvin, and then he goes, I said hi. And I felt like, oh man, I'm hurting this guy's feelings. And I said, oh hi, you know, and then he walks away muttering to himself. So I haven't seen him since. And now I feel bad that I you know, I should have just said hi to him. But, you know, now he's... Maybe he doesn't like me anymore. I was just going to tell him. He's not going to listen to this. I'm going to tell him. But the next time I see him, I'm going to say to him, hey, man. Which is kind of half true. Like, in my head, I was saying hi to him. You know, like, in my head. Like, I'm talking to Marvin. And in my head, I'm going, yeah, hi, what's up, man? But, I mean, how much hi do I have to give you? I mean, hello. I mean, yeah, you're a great guy. I mean, you say you're going to barbecue. You never do. You know, whatever. I mean, God bless you. God bless us all. You know, but I didn't. But when he walked away muttering, I felt terrible because I you know, come on. Who wants to make somebody? I don't want to make anybody walk away muttering, unless they're muttering how great I am. So that's what happened there. Then I had this incident with Janet, the manager and next door neighbor. Now Janet's been very, very good to me, very nice to me. She's helped me out a lot during my. Recovery from both surgeries, and so I don't know. I don't know if should I mention it. I've already mentioned it, so I got to say it. I could take it back. I could take it back now and say I'm not going to talk about it. Let me think. Should I talk about it? Let me think. Yeah, I'm going to talk about it. What the heck? So I'm out there in the courtyard. I don't know if it's the same night as the other incident. But I'm sitting there, and she points out that the table across the way, you know, each table has four chairs. Well, there's two chairs missing. She goes, hey, what happened to those two chairs? I go, I don't know. I just noticed it myself when you said that. And then, so then she said, and she thought maybe the pilot's upstairs because they don't have any furniture. They might have taken it. And she wasn't implying that he stole it. She was just saying they might have been, you know, borrowing it. I mean, that's what I got. I said, well, that's possible because I've done that before when we had these other chairs there. And if I had an issue with, you know, because I don't have very limited furniture, I would, you know, borrow a chair and take it in my house and use it and keep it overnight. And then I would bring it back the next day. So, you know, I didn't think anything of it, you know. So, then she goes in her house, and then the pilots come home. Now, I have to tell you that they've had some issues with her, or she's had some issues with them, but they seem to get along okay now. And I just happen, and I have kind of a bustin' chops relationship with these guys. You know, we kid around a lot. So when they came in, I said, hey, Janet, I think you guys took the two chairs over there. And they were like, what? You know, no, we don't take the chairs. And then we just, like, kind of kid around a little bit more. And then they went upstairs. Well, then Janet comes out, and I say to her, hey, I asked those guys if they had the chairs, but they said they didn't. And she goes, why did you? She got real mad. Why did you mention that to them? I go, I don't know. I just didn't know it was a problem. I just, you know, letting you know that they don't have it. And so she got really, really mad. And then she went up to their place and tried to straighten out, like, you know, and then as she's up there, I could see them, and they're kind of giggling, and then they're telling me, oh, she's throwing you under the bus, dude. So then she came down, and she said she wasn't going to be my friend anymore. So I said, oh, listen, I apologize. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to, I didn't know it was a big, you know, I didn't say anything out of the way. I just, I didn't think you were saying they stole it. You know, they thought maybe they borrowed it, but I'm sorry. You're right. I shouldn't have said anything. I apologize. And then she, you know, was warm towards me and became my friend one more time. So it's, you just never know. You just never know. It's going to set somebody off. And so, so that was interesting. It was a very interesting incidents. Then I'm over at my water therapy, and there's a lady there who works there as like an aide to the physical therapist. And, you know, she's very nice. We always smile. Hello, hello. We kid around a little bit. And so she asks me, she's talking to me about her kids. And I just said, oh, you got kids. How old are your kids? And I think one's 18, one's 15. Oh, yeah. I know, because I asked her if she's going to study to become a physical therapist. And she says, well, maybe once my kids are out of the house. And so how old her kids were? One's 18, one's 15. Oh, okay. And then she goes, do you have any kids? And I said, I don't know. You know, kind of as a joke. And she just beelined out of there like, oh, psh, goodbye. You know, bye. Psh, nice talking to you. Now, I'm sure she, you know, got it was a joke, but I guess it was, I like saying that better than no. I don't know. Not that I know of. Carol Leifer, great comedian, she had heard a joke when she was coming up, I think in the 80s. As she said, people ask her if she has any kids, and she said, and I think her punchline was, none that I know of. Which is funny as a woman, because the woman gives birth to the kid. Okay. Carol Leifer. She also wrote for Seinfeld, by the way. Seinfeld TV show. Okay? All right. So, a few more things before we wrap this podcast up here. I'm in one of the supermarkets I go to. I'm not going to mention which one. This girl, the checker there, is a girl I've seen her, you know, quite a bit. And she said something and she laughed. And she had, and I just thought it was a great laugh. And I said, "That's a, you've got a great laugh." And, you know, I'm sure you've been told that before. And I said, "I'm, you know, particularly sensitive to that because, you know, what I do," you know. And she goes, "Oh, you're a comedian." She goes, "You're a comedian, right?" I go, "Yeah, yeah, yeah." She goes, "Yeah, yeah." I said, "Yeah." So, you know, you got a great laugh. And I said something else. And she laughed some more. And I said something. And then she said she was gonna have some ringtones made of that laugh at some point. She was gonna market that laugh. She's gonna monetize that laugh. She's gonna cash in on that laugh. And I said, "Okay, cool." You know, and she took my email down and to let me know when she's gonna come up with that. And I said, "Okay, fine." And then I said something else, and she laughed some more. But now the laugh is starting to get maniacal and kind of sadistic. And I said, "Hey, wait a minute. Now his laugh is getting scary," and she was like, "Nah." And all of a sudden, it wasn't the great laugh. It was going into another realm, and which would be good for certain things, but it wasn't the laugh that I was pointing out initially. It was a different laugh. I mean, I could have pointed that out, laugh out at another time, perhaps. But the anyway, so that was that. And... And there's some people, I don't know, there's some people laugh at anything. So, you know, like, there's some people where they just, like, you just talk to them, and they just, like, or not so much even anything, everything you say, whatever they say, and they go, yeah I'm going to go get some coffee. I know a person like that. You know, I don't know what's so funny. Is it like a funny coffee? Is it coffee that tickles your funny bone? I don't get it. I don't get why you're laughing. Going for coffee. Then I went to another supermarket that I hadn't been to in a while. There's a Ralph's in my neighborhood, and I stopped going there because I started going to this other market that was more like kind of on my way home, and then I would go to Whole Foods and occasional Trader Joe's, but I wasn't going to Ralph's. And I got a Ralph's card, folks. I got a Ralph's card. So I said, you know what, I'm going to go check out this Ralph's. Because I was actually looking for a particular ice cream that my orthopedic doctor, Dr. Clapper, on his radio show talked about this ice cream because he interviewed the head of the ice cream, this company that manufactures this ice cream. It's called Grater's Ice Creams out of Ohio, Dayton, Ohio, I believe. And he said it was in Ralph's. And I started calling Ralph's around the night before because I was getting ready for my cheat day, my reward day. And so, but I couldn't find it. And then, I don't know if I called this particular Ralph's, but I was on my way home, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to stop off and get some other things. And it was great. You know, I got like a half a baked chicken, and they had a salad bar there, and it was so nice. It was so well remodeled. It was remodeled from when I used to go. When I went, it was almost, you know, kind of turning ghetto-ish, even though the neighborhood is not so ghetto. But it was nice. It was nice. And so when I'm at the hot bar talking to this woman who's waiting on me, and I'm telling her how I haven't been there in years, and then this guy comes up who works there, and I mention, hey, there was a guy who managed here, like a black guy, a slender black guy. I forgot his name. I used to talk to him. Does he still work here? And she said she didn't. It didn't ring a bell. And then the guy standing next to me goes, "Is his name Mike? Is his name Mike?" I you know, to tell you the truth, I don't remember his name. Oh, okay. Yeah, you don't know if it was Mike. No, Mike. Do you remember Jerry? I said, no, I don't know. What about Tom? Do you remember Tom? Tom's still here. No, I don't. You know, Fred's back. Fred went away for a while, but you know he's back. And then finally, I look at the girl, and I'm thinking this guy's crazy, right? And I just go, "Oh, Fred's back! Yeah, I know Fred. You tell Fred that Al said hi." I didn't say that, but it's what I should have said. "Yeah, Fred, are you kidding? We go way back. We used to hang out in produce together. Talk about avocados." Oh God. Okay. One last thing. Yesterday was my cheat day. I ordered some Mexican food from this pretty good Mexican restaurant that delivers in my neighborhood. And I thought I ordered one thing, and I was intending to order one thing, and when I got it, it was partially what I wanted, but it wasn't the whole thing. And so I called up to ask, you know, why the order was different. And I get this, first of all, when I made the initial order with a girl, took the order, when I called up was this guy. And it's this guy, he's got this sort of annoying habit. I've talked to him before. I'm calling you buddy. Hi, buddy. And who took your order, buddy? What kind of thing, buddy? It's very, very annoying. Okay, buddy. It's just like, oh, you know, really, shut up with the buddy. I'm not your buddy. I'm just trying to find out about my order here, buddy. And I talked to the girl, and she set me straight. You know, she told me, yeah, I actually made a mistake when I ordered. I didn't convey. It was fine enough. The order was great. But she schooled me in the fact that I was what I actually ordered, and I had to concede to her because I believed that she was right. Okay? That's the kind of guy I am. If I'm right, I'm right. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Okay. Okay, buddy? Okay, buddy. All right, that's it. That's it for this week. Thank you all for listening, whoever's listening to the this podcast. At some point, I'm gonna really just do a whole... I'm just right now, I'm healing from the surgeries and working out and doing a lot of exercising and physical therapy, and that's going great. And soon I will be getting with my friend Dwayne and or these two guys I met when I got my hair did. I talked about them, I think, last week, the week before, these professional IT guys. And then we're going to do a whole revamping where it'll be where this podcast will be accessible to everybody and anybody who has a computer on this earth, on this planet called Earth. Anyway, until next time, this is Al Berman live from a studio apartment in North Hollywood, California.